It will also take time for American soldiers serving in Iraq to get back into civilian life.
I worry about what he's seen, if he'll be able to adjust, if he does have a stress disorder. I don't know everything he's seen, and I don't know how hard it would take him to go back to the normal things that we used to do and not have, like, flashbacks.
We'll hear more from one family that's just welcomed its soldier home. That's just ahead. But first, 2 days after a fuel pipeline explosion in Nigeria, health workers continue to bury charred corpses. Up to 200 people were reported killed in Friday's blast. Police suspect the inferno outside Nigeria's commercial capital was caused by illegal attempts to pump gasoline out of the pipeline. NPR's Ofabia Quist-Arkton has been to the scene of the tragedy and joins me now by phone from Lagos. Ofabia, can you tell us what you saw there?
It's very quiet on the island today. It's an island between the lagoon and the sea. About 200 bodies have been buried in a mass grave. Today, it was just the remainder. Bloated bodies, charred, so you wouldn't recognize the men, had got stuck in the mangrove swamps in the lagoon, and health workers were going around on the water in speedboats, tying the bodies to the backs of boats and then burying them in the sand. So there was a stench of death on the island, but otherwise deathly quiet except the police and the health workers.
Are officials there certain this explosion was caused by people tapping into the pipeline?
Nobody has said for definite, but along with the charred bodies, and we're talking about blackened sand and a charred pipeline, there were apparently dozens of black plastic jerry cans which had melted in the enormous heat of the blast, which killed people on the spot and also sent people flying into the water, which is why bodies are still being found now. But this is quite a common practice here in Nigeria. Go back almost 10 years to 1998, about 2,000 people have been killed in tampering incidents of pipelines, because a lot of these pipelines, some are foreign-owned, some are state-owned here in Nigeria, they run at ground level. And people say it's poverty and hunger that are goading people, forcing them into tapping into these pipelines and stealing the fuel and sometimes crude oil to sell on the black market to earn money.
Now, this tragedy was an accident, but there have also been deliberate acts of sabotage by rebels in the Niger Delta, haven't there?
And in fact, there are parallels being drawn, because a lot of people say, look, this pipeline runs through our land, but we don't have running water, we don't have electricity, we don't have proper schools, we don't have hospitals, and yet there are oil profits in Nigeria. So it's very similar to the Niger Delta, except the people here are not armed with guns and speedboats, and they're not stealing crude oil in commercial quantities. They're doing it at artisanal level, but everybody says same thing. We need to earn money. The government is not doing enough. The oil companies are not doing enough to help us.
What happens now?
An inquiry has been ordered by President Olusegun Obasanjo of Nigeria. He said he wants to see increased security at the pipelines. But these pipelines crisscross the country from the Niger Delta, where the oil is pumped, all over refined fuel and crude oil. And if, as one man said to me, look at them, looking at the people, tempting them, saying this is money. So unless more is done to make sure that local people benefit from oil and from fuel, this is going to continue.
NPR's Ofabia Quist-Arkton in Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.